Welcome to the Azure for Industry podcast. We're your hosts, David Starr and Paul Marr. In this podcast, you hear from thought leaders across various industries discussing technology trends and innovation, sharing how Azure is helping transform business. You'll also hear directly from Microsoft thought leaders on how our products and services are meeting industry's continually evolving needs. I'd like to welcome Charlion Arkon to the show. Charlion is Vice President and Global Sales Lead for the manufacturing industry at Microsoft. As Vice President for the Microsoft industry at Microsoft, Charlion is responsible for managing the digital transformation of manufacturing companies across multiple manufacturing verticals, as well as guiding growth and compete strategies for Microsoft in those verticals worldwide. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
And we also have with us today Diego Tamburini, who's the principal industry lead for Azure in manufacturing. Diego focuses on delivering technical content to help manufacturing companies and software developers deliver their solutions on Azure at scale. He champions partners who deliver manufacturing solutions using Azure. Welcome to you, Diego.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to be here, everyone.
And Charlion, I wonder if we could start by asking you to tell us just a little bit more about yourself and your team at Microsoft.
Happy to. So again, my name is Charlion. And on the one hand, I'm one of the industry leaders taking care of manufacturing globally. And on the other, I operate as anything manufacturing and supply chain in Microsoft across all of the verticals. And these are very interesting times for us to be in the middle of this pandemic, as well as a major, a set of shifts, actually, anything manufacturing and supply chain. So this whole kind of large-scale transformation started a few years ago with this notion of Industry 4.0. But then in this environment, we see acceleration of change and lots of things being redefined. So it's a very, very interesting time to be doing what we're doing.
Indeed it is. And with that, what are some of the primary issues related to COVID-19 that manufacturing companies are dealing with right now?
Well, at the highest level, I think it's fair to say that manufacturing is very severely impacted, particularly in discrete manufacturing verticals. Demand has kind of virtually stopped, and also supply is very, very largely disrupted. We have seen some of the process manufacturing industries, maybe some of the pharmaceuticals and life sciences, some in food and beverage with some increased demand or at least continuation. But by and large, huge impact in terms of factory closures, furloughs and layoffs, and also a major disruption in operations, because by and large, manufacturers and supply chains were not prepared for this kind of disruption. So some, if not most of them, had started operating blind and did not have their people on the ground, on the shop floor, did not have visibility into their operations. I can go on and on. So across the board, pretty much everything is largely impacted.
You mentioned supply chain really quickly. I'll ask one more. And that, I assume, means that we've got some manufacturers out there holding loads of inventory and others that can't get a hold of the inventory they need to manufacture their products. Is that what you mean there?
Well, partly. One observation we made was supply chains are very, very optimized. So we did not really have much of an excess inventory, much of any crisis preparation, any plan B, if you will. And so it was very lean. And suddenly, we did not have the raw materials. Obviously, one notion in, as relates to supply chain is too much dependency on like one source, perhaps one country. One may look at China here as a case in point. And so going forward, we see many things around supply chains changing in a big way.
Thanks, Charlie. That's super, super insightful. And it's great to get kind of grounded in what we're seeing in terms of the issues and the industry around COVID-19. I also know that, you know, you personally and Microsoft have really sort of been mobilizing behind the scenes. And perhaps could you share a little bit more insights on, you know, how Microsoft has been participating within the manufacturing industry's response to COVID-19?
Absolutely. Happy to, Paul. So a couple of things. At the highest level, much like our entire set of kind of customers, clients, large and small, we started immediately by offering remote work capabilities with Microsoft Office 365 and Teams, you know, free of charge offers for like 6 months, as well as, you know, engineering support for quick deployment, Windows Virtual Desktop, etc. We then went to employee safety, distancing with HealthBot, trying to help the frontline workers in health in terms of triaging and kind of filtering and qualifying who receives a test and who not. We put our AI and intelligence to help with cyber attacks, which we've seen, you know, increasing numbers of those. So all of those we kind of quickly brought to bear. More manufacturing specific, we partnered with some of our global partners, as well as some of the kind of health institutions and some global kind of associations and large enterprises to make sure that low and middle income countries get what they need. So we went through a number of sprints already to build that global kind of demand aggregation marketplace, so that you know, we could help demand and supply meet, and then everybody get a fair share of what's needed. Obviously, in light of COVID, one of the facts that we were faced with, if you will, was that a huge shortage of like ventilators and testing equipment and over 100 different items of like personal protective equipment, from masks and the surgical masks to gloves and the face shields and surgical gowns. And this goes on and on. Those are literally over 100 that are identified by the World Economic Forum. So we've done work relative to that demand aggregation marketplace. We've done work relative to perhaps encourage new designs and create that, you know, a pragmatic design marketplace, maybe to activate also makers and 3D printers, et cetera. And now we're working on a supply chain response to provide visibility, resiliency, scenario planning, those kinds of like urgent needs in supply chains to our customers. We're also working on enabling anything remote, if you will, because as I said, manufacturers were mostly operating blindly, a huge amount of them, and particularly with the people not showing up in the shop floor, et cetera. And now, in a limited fashion, but we're seeing increased, you know, accelerated investments into creating those digital twins of manufacturing operations within the four walls, so that people understand their assets and quality and performance metrics quickly and be able to get predictions on them, act on them, etc. And going forward, what will shape as new normal? We see this this as an accelerated need across a much broader set of customers in terms of manufacturing. And one very interesting consortium that we were engaged in, Paul, was in the UK. It's called Ventilator Challenge UK. It's a consortium of over 20 different companies, from aerospace to medical equipment manufacturers to aviation companies to logistics companies, etc. Some of them actually also competitors. And through our technology and partners, we were able to help them to increase ventilator manufacturing capacity from what they had at 40, 50 a week to 1,500 a week, and be able to deliver those every week to NHS, the National Health Authority in the UK. And it was fascinating to see how quickly our technology enabled like training new employees, standing up new lines, creating an end-to-end ERP, a new supply chain tower, control tower and visibility, and bring our mixed reality capabilities to life in terms of having employees, you know, be able to manufacture things that they didn't know how to manufacture using technology. It was just fascinating to see what we were able to stand up in a matter of weeks. And that is about saving lives. We're not confused about that, too. It's but it showed the art of possible in manufacturing and how Microsoft and Microsoft's partner ecosystem can quickly show up and stand up new capacity.
Great. I mean, thanks so much for sharing that. I'm just kind of replaying back a little bit. I mean, I'm sure I speak for all of us on the podcast here today. You know, we wish everyone the best in these challenging times. And it's great listening here to see, even in a small way, you know, the part that we at Microsoft have been able to play working with manufacturers. So thanks so much for sharing those insights. And again, we wish everyone the best in these challenging times. So with that said, switching gears a little bit, and you know, we get to spend a lot of time together. And of course, I know that you're thinking all the time around sort of manufacturing and strategy and opportunity and how we can bring together the opportunity around sort of industry trends and technology to drive new innovation. And so I thought it'd be interesting to ask you the question of, you know, so if you think back to pre-COVID-19, and you know, as you've thought about manufacturing and sort of really industry and trends, what does that look like? But also more importantly, you know, with these changing times, of course, we've just had some of your perspectives on perhaps new trends or acceleration of trends that you thought about before because of our changing times. You know, if you look big picture at manufacturing, what's your vision of sort of what's happening in manufacturing and, of course, the opportunity for technology innovation in manufacturing?
No, absolutely. We see acceleration more than changes in approach because we were already looking at technology drastically changing and everything manufacturing and supply chain. But obviously, we made adjustments in our portfolio. So we look at our customer conversations and our value add pull across five different pillars. In short, those are related to workforce, our employees, to customer-facing systems, anything marketing, sales, and service. Three, manufacturing. We call it factory of the future or agile factories. Four, it's supply chains. And five, it's about innovation. In the COVID era, we didn't have much innovation in terms of how to rethink that. But you cannot starve innovation cycles. So we'll quickly get back to it because innovation is about growth, competition, it's market share. It's going to be it's going to remain front and center in terms of manufacturers thinking. So a couple maybe sound bites across these five. Again, let's go back to employees and the workforce. We already had a huge skills gap that we identified in manufacturing. Right, we're looking at automation, changing the nature of the profile of the workforce, if you will, with repetitive and low-value-add jobs going away and high-value-add data jobs, digital jobs, remote jobs, and existing workforce using more mixed reality, more communication collaboration tools. That is going to not only remain as a trend, but it's going to accelerate because now manufacturers know they have to be able to operate remotely. They still have to be able to see their KPIs. They still have to be able to react to predictions and take care of assets and quality, etc. How about distancing and crisis response? All of that is going to be front and center in accelerated fashion. I talked about customer systems. We reckon what COVID will accelerate is this notion of online sales and delivery. And so that is going to remain, that's going to be there big time. And we'll be looking at, you know, accelerated e-commerce and customer systems being connected to manufacturing and design, supply chains behaving differently, field service being redefined, etc. When it comes to factory of the future or agile manufacturing, obviously the remote operations, remote everything, digital twins, those are going to be the name of the game. And then technology will increasingly, starting from Microsoft, I will say, will increasingly move to actually enabling outcomes. It's not about technology. Technology is only a tool. But can we help you reduce scrap? Can we help you increase efficiency in your work processes? Can we help you improve your asset life cycle and asset health? So these are the top of mind things that we'll be looking at. And obviously, from robotic process automation to low-code, no-code systems and platforms enabling first-line workers and others in a profound fashion, all of these are going to be the conversations. supply chains will move to a certain level of autonomous. We believe they'll become more integrated. Artificial intelligence will become will play a bigger role in terms of starting from demand and market signals, which is pretty much, it doesn't exist today, really. There are very, very few companies that have those signals and then be able to match demand and supply in an intelligent fashion. Risk assessment, scenario planning, those are things that will become profoundly kind of digitalized and anything supply chain execution, really. And then finally, high-performance computing and simulation, physics-based models, et cetera, will inform innovation in a big way. All manufacturing paradigms of making, many, many parts and then assembling and welding them, et cetera. Now 3D printing, AI-led generative design fundamentally changes all of those. And so innovation cycles have to be revisited. So this is our portfolio. This is our customer conversations. And from a platform standpoint, we are very, very proud. We're very excited in terms of what we brought together uniquely end to end. And then we're using like open manufacturing platform and our partnerships with OPC Foundation as well as the OPC UA and across our entire partner ecosystem. The elevated platform and accelerated cycles in terms of time to value that is not only strong, but it's also very unique in our belief.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And Diego, I mean, I'll just kind of pass over to you as well. I know, we're hearing here a lot about the trends and our customers. Any insights that you could add, Diego, from sort of our partner ecosystem?
Paul, of course. We enable the scenarios that Chalean just described mainly through partners and who build their partners as a independent software vendors and systems integrators who build their solutions on our platform, and most notably Azure. So we are seeing in my team that we enable ISVs to get onto Azure and the marketplace. What we're seeing, interestingly enough, is that they are getting a spike in demand for some applications or some scenarios that have been kind of come more urgent with the COVID-19 crisis. So some of which Shalayan mentioned, everything remote, any solution that allows people to look at the KPIs, OEE, and performance of their factories remotely, they are getting a lot of demand. Anything that has to do with workers' connectivity and workers' retraining, particularly for those factories where they're doing the repurposing or refactoring, they need to train their workforce very fast. I mean, these were workers that were building cars and now they're building ventilators. So those solutions have gotten an incredible spike in demand. So we are kind of scrambling to help them get on the platform and partner with us.
Thanks, Diego. I mean, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, just kind of playing back what you've said is that we're seeing new innovation that's resulting from the current situation. And so, Charlian was mentioning earlier on that, I think around just generally sort of the skills shortage in manufacturing, but now sort of pivoting to driving new innovation and moving away from core competencies, of course, training is crucial. So it's kind of interesting to hear that. And I'm hearing more and more about this, remote everything. And of course, again, in our changing times, sort of accessibility and remote working is key. And I love that we're seeing from the partner ecosystem, sort of the ability to enable that remote working, whether it's, kind of standing up, kind of workstations with pre-populated tooling and so on. And so it's great to hear that. And, for me, I think it's great that we as Microsoft are being able to be part of the conversation and provide our insights, but it's also great to see the industry itself really sort of mobilizing together for a common cause and driving new innovation. Anyway, just really, really super interesting to hear. Thanks both.
And now let's take a moment out to listen to this very important message.
Did you know the Microsoft Commercial Marketplace allows you to find and purchase leading Microsoft certified solutions from Microsoft partners? The Microsoft Commercial Marketplace includes Microsoft AppSource and Azure Marketplace. Each storefront serves unique customer requirements and different target audiences, so publishers can ensure solutions are available to the right customers. For applications that integrate with Microsoft 365 products, visit appsource.microsoft.com. get solutions tailored to your industry that work with the products you already use. For B2B Azure-based solutions, visit azuremarketplace.microsoft.com. Here you can discover, try, and deploy the cloud software solutions you want.
So, Charlene, we've talked a lot about the very valuable relationship that we have with our partners. How should software vendors best position themselves to partner with Microsoft and jointly go to market?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. As Diego suggested, we're seeing accelerated impact, market impact, as our partners become more targeted relative to the outcomes they're driving and more efficient in terms of the time to value to those outcomes. The whole partner ecosystem is just adding a ton of value. We have a number of programs, but I will point out to perhaps the Microsoft Commercial Marketplace. That is where, you know, I'd like to see all our partners transacting on that marketplace. Obviously, starts with showing up. I would encourage our partners to become call center ready with their assets and solutions and IP. And then do work with us in terms of the go-to-market plan and execution when it comes to which target geographies, in terms of which verticals and which workloads and which value pockets to drive. All of that requires obviously diligent planning and rigorous execution, which we're here to help with. We're very, very excited. We're seeing a huge market opportunity for our partner ecosystem. So we're excited to engage.
For those who may not know, you mentioned the term co-sell ready. What does that mean for us?
Microsoft has this powerful program that for partners who are betting on Microsoft as a platform and as a partnership, we have go-to-market thinking and assets, as well as co-sell, again, roles identified and an execution in place. So we go to market together with our partners. This is all about, again, I'll go back to time to value. And our field is actually at a very, very good place to embrace our partners and sell with them in their respective geographies. And as we speak, we continue to make amazing progress in terms of making that a friction-free process for our field sellers and our partners. And so it's exciting to see the pipeline and the market impact.
Fantastic. So, I mean, the goal here of the podcast today is, of course, this is just the start of the conversation. I'd love to be able to allow our listeners to hear how they can continue the conversation moving forward. So, of course, in the show notes, you'll see we'll share Charlene's and Diego's links and how to connect with them on social media. But I'll ask the question to both Charlene followed by Diego. So any closing remarks in terms of for our listeners, kind of here today, how they can continue to learn more about the topics you've talked about today? So let's start with Charlene. Do you want to go first, and then we'll go with Diego?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I'll go back to the market is at the edge. It's like a tipping point, and we're almost there. We're going to see accelerated investment in everything, manufacturing and supply chain, and in the workforce in a profound way. We are ready. We believe so is our partner ecosystem. So I'll say call to action is let's get together, let's have the right conversations, and let's hit the market together.
Fantastic. Diego, over to you.
Yes, I will say that for any of your listeners that particularly from software vendors, independent software vendors that want to partner with Microsoft to bring innovation to manufacturing together, feel free to contact me or my team and we will help you with the first step to partner with Microsoft, which is to be on our platform. And also on our commercial marketplace platform, so you can go to market and sell your solutions directly with us. So we're here to help.
Thank you, Diego. And as a reminder, you'll see all those ability to reach out to Diego and Charlie on in the show notes. So David, back to you.
I'll mention real quick before we close out that if you want to learn more and aren't looking at the show notes, it's easy enough to go to Microsoft.com/manufacturing, where you can learn a lot more about Microsoft's manufacturing initiatives. And I want to thank both of our guests for appearing on the show today. Diego and Charlion, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Azure for Industry podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming our world with Azure. For show topic recommendations or other feedback, reach out to us at industrypodcast@microsoft.com.